Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Grover Beach City Council meeting for Monday, March 28th. And welcome, everyone. We are back in person. This is our second time back in person, so we very much appreciate everybody being here. And this is our first time that we actually have the full council here with us this evening. So I do want to say this is our call to order. Welcome back. And this meeting may also be viewed on Channel 20 and is available live streaming on the city's website and at www.slow-span.org. Members of the public may provide public comment during the course of the meeting by either being in person, which we highly encourage, or by calling in at 805-321-6639, and that phone line is open now. So if you would, please all join me in rising for a moment of silence. This is actually going to be a moment of reflection, I think. As everyone came in this evening, you saw the mobile command vehicle that the city of Grover Beach recently acquired. And I want to take a moment to kind of say thank you to our public service and our public safety, fire and police. So the mobile command center is a moment of reflection, or offers us the moment of reflection to say our police department and our fire department do a great job at protecting our community. And we've, as a city, have also provided them with the tools to do that. And so while there's a balance between that, we always want to make sure that we have the compassionate side of the people, which our chief and our sworn staff are doing a great job of replicating, along with the fire department. But we also have the tools to make sure that our community continues to be safe. And we want to say thank you to both of our police and our fire staff for that. And so if you would, I'll take a moment of reflection on that, if you would, please. Thank you, everyone, for joining us in that moment of reflection. And now, something that has been missing for the better part of 2 years, if not longer, and that is our flag salute by a member of our community. So we are so proud in Grover to have someone from one of our local schools come forward and be the flag salute. And tonight, that flag saluter is going to lead us. His name is Caleb Franco. He's 11 years old. And he's in the sixth grade at Fairgrove Elementary School. Caleb tells us that while in school, his favorite things are experiencing new subjects and exploring new subjects and learning new things that will help him later in his life. He states he would be grateful if he could pursue science and math in high school. Good choices. What he enjoys about living on the Central Coast is the hot temperatures, probably a little cooler than Bakersfield, but we'll go with that, is the hot temperatures and the beautiful landscapes. After graduating, he would like to be a farmer. And when Caleb isn't helping his parents in the backyard, he also likes to ride his bike. So and joining Caleb tonight are Ben and Jackie, and then also Morgan and Jenna. So, Caleb, we thank you for being here, and please lead us in the flag salute.
Can everybody cross their hand over their heart? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Caleb, fabulously done. So if you would come forward. Actually, we're going to come around. So if you would stand right there, we're going to come around and take a photo with you.
Thank you.
And after we take one photo with the council, family, come on up. And we haven't done this for 2 years either. So wherever you want.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, and now our meeting takes a slightly more mundane turn as I turned to our I'll turn to our city clerk. I was trying to make a joke as I was about to go towards our city attorney, but first I'll go to our city clerk for a roll call, please.
Councilmember Miller.
Here.
Councilmember Robert.
Here.
Councilmember Rushing.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
Here.
Mayor Lee.
I am here as well, so we have a quorum, so we will continue. And now I get a chance to call on our city attorney, Mr. Dave Hale, for our closed session announcements.
Thank you, Mayor. We have no closed session announcements for this evening.
Very good. Thank you, sir. So as we come back to our agenda review, let's remember that we are actually in person. Once again, we have agendas over on our right, your left. And the opportunity to speak is via one of these blue slips. Go ahead and fill out your name and the item that you want to speak on, and go ahead and turn it over to our deputy city manager, and she'll make sure that it gets up to us. So with that, this is our time for agenda review, where the council will review the order of business to be conducted and see if there's any questions to my right and to my left on the agenda. Any changes to the order of the day by staff? Then I'll go ahead and see if there's a motion to adopt the agenda as presented.
I'll move to adopt the agenda as presented.
I'll second it.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Thank you very much. We will proceed with the agenda as published, which takes us to our ceremonial calendar, where today we have a proclamation for the Month of the Child. And I'd like to turn it over to our Mayor Pro Tem, Karen Bright, to read the proclamation, please.
Thank you. I'm happy to do so. This is proclamation for April is Month of the Child and Child Abuse Prevention Month. Whereas the Grover Beach City Council recognizes that every moment in a child's life is an opportunity for that child to learn, that the quality of these experiences may determine whether a child succeeds in school and in life, and that all children need caring and loving adults in their lives. And April, Month of the Child and Child Abuse Prevention Month, marks the time to recognize that our community's children are precious assets, that the quality of their early years is our collective responsibility, and that we commit ourselves to ensuring that each and every child has access to a high-quality early environment at home, at childcare, at school, and in the community that will promote their optimal growth and development. And in solidarity of the We Are the Care initiative, as we as a community of partners and leaders envision a San Luis Obispo County where all families can find and afford quality care for their children, and where child care professionals are valued for their critical role in building a solid foundation for children and families to thrive in the world. And Saturday, April 2nd, 2022, will commemorate Day of the Child at the annual Children's Day in the Plaza celebration from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. in the San Luis Obispo Mission Plaza. This year's celebration, where children and families will have the opportunity to discover creativity, individuality, diversity, and the arts while exploring community resources. And Friday, April 22nd, 2022, our county will participate in the statewide raising of the Children's Memorial Flag to honor and raise awareness about the many children in our midst who suffer daily from abuse and neglect, and pledge our support for strategies that strengthen families and protect our young ones. And whereas April is National Child Abuse Prevention Month, raising awareness and recognizing that each of us has a role to play in ensuring the safety of our children, as we pledge our support for strategies that strengthen families and protect our young ones by promoting our Normalizing Parenting campaign and introduce Children's Memorial Day on Friday, April 22nd, 2022, at 10 a.m. with our Child Abuse Prevention Council colleagues throughout California. Now, therefore, it be resolved that the Grover Beach City Council is proclaiming April 2022 as the Month of the Child, Child Abuse Prevention Month.
Very good. Thank you for reading that. And I'd like to invite Shannon Messerly and then also Jamie Sanbunmatsu up to the podium, along with the folks that are here with you, to accept the proclamation, which, as you may have seen, is freshly signed.
I wanted to take a moment to say thank you. Hearing what you read takes my breath away. I am so proud to be here and to celebrate you for sharing the Month of the Young Child and Child Prevention Month. My name's Shannon Pimentel, and I'm here to represent the San Luis Obispo County Office of Education and also the San Luis Obispo Child Planning Council, and I have some amazing children with me. I have Arturo, who's a preschooler at one of your city's preschool programs, Grover Beach Early Learning Center, and his older brother, who is now a fifth grader but also attended the preschool, and one of the most amazing early childhood teachers in Grover Beach as well. She teaches at the Grover Beach Elementary School for a state preschool program. And we wanted to just say thank you to Mayor Jeff and to say thank you also to Mayor Pro Tem Bright for, again, being champions of children. And thank you all of the city council members. We commend the Grover Beach City Council and staff for dedicating American Rescue Plan funding directly towards solutions to tackle child care crisis. We're encouraged to continue partnering in these efforts with you to support children and families and businesses of Grover Beach. April is the month of the young child and child abuse prevention month. We hope that you'll join us and kids of all ages at, as you had shared, the April 2nd annual Children's Day in the Plaza at the Mission in San Luis Obispo. We'll be joined by over 50 organizations, and as we have 54,000 children in our community, I'm excited to be able to be in person with many of those families and children. We're partnering with the Department of Social Services and Center for Family Strengthening to raise awareness and recognize that each of us has a role to play in ensuring the safety of our children. We also hope that you'll join us with the April 22nd raising of the Children's Memorial Flag at the SLO Downtown Courthouse. And April is one of 12 months, but we encourage everyone to keep children in our county in our hearts, minds, and our commitments every day, every year. It's our collective responsibility to demonstrate daily that our youth are our highest priority, and it's evident by our collective commitment of time, money, sustained effort, and unified support. So again, thank you for this opportunity, and we look forward to hopefully seeing you at the Children's Day in the Plaza on April 2nd. And we are, again, just so thankful for all that you do for our children and for our families. So thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Ms. Pimentel.
That's what it is. Oh, yes. And the boys brought you something as well. So as we sneak up for a photo.
Wow.
Thank you.
I think you're going to be a city council member, Arturo. Sorry.
Thank you. So, and then we'll take a photo, unless, and then we'll have, no, then we'll have our public comments. Great. You didn't realize you were going to get so much exercise, did you? And I do have a speaker slip from Ms. Jamie Sandu-Matsu. So if you would, please.
Yes, I'm just a follow-up to that, and actually to recognize Grover Beach City Council. I am representing the We Are the Care part of your partnership with our care of our children. My name is Jamie Sandu-Matsu. I'm director of a child care center in Arroyo Grande, but I'm the current sitting council chair of the San Luis Obispo Children's Child Care Planning Council. And every April, as we've all said right now, that we celebrate the month of the child and child abuse prevention month in preparation. We've taken time to reflect on our children around the world and our role that they have and their families play in our local communities. We of the Care is grateful and wants to recognize Grover Beach City Council for your prioritization of the needs of all our children and families in our communities. And for the foundation you are helping to build to begin to alleviate the child care crisis. We know that unlike other industries, The childcare market is not recovering at the same rate as other essential parts of America's economy, and we appreciate your continued interest in what children and our families are needing and how you can help assist in this movement. We are excited, actually, to announce to you something we'll be doing in your own community and neighborhood coming up starting in April, and it's called the We Are the Care Community Voices Tour. We will be having listening tours in your local parks and rec places and inviting voices from our community, our families, parents, consumers, business people who are looking for childcare, to come out and let us know what your needs are. It may not be what we perceive, and we are the care or even the city council. And once we've compiled our voices throughout the next few months and summer from our parks and our citizens, we will share what is pertinent to your community with you at the end of that. And so our hope is to hear the challenges that parents currently are facing and also offer opportunities to celebrate and show love and appreciation for our local providers for this crucial part of our economy and citizenship. Our very first stop is going to start at the Children's Day on the Plaza at the First Five booth on April 2nd, and we invite all of you to come by, and we'd be glad to speak with you and again tell you thank you for your support and the We Are the Care efforts that you've been learning about over the last several years now. Thank you.
Very good. And before you leave, Ms. Sambu-Matu, let's see if there's any questions for either you or for Ms. Pimentel. So questions to my left?
No questions.
Okay. Questions to my right?
No.
Very good. So just one quick question is, if we're not able to make the Children's Day in the Plaza, where would we find out when your other community voices tour might be?
We're beginning that calendar now, and they'll be announced and put out on our local social websites. And all information can always be found through the First Five website at, let me see here, www.firstfiveslow.org.
www.firstfiveslow.org.
Yes.
Great. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Thank you for the opportunity.
The numeral or the spell?
Is spelled out or the numeral? F-I-V-E or the number
it
five?
The numeral.
The numeral. Perfect. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Very good. Since we did open that up to the public, let's see if there's any other members of the public that want to speak on this ceremonial item. Seeing no one come forward, thank you very much for participating this evening, and we'll look forward to hearing your report after your voices tour. Great. So that does take us to public communication, where during this time the council will allow public communications with additional communication if necessary, allowed after the regular business items. Any member of the public may address the council for a period not to exceed 3 minutes total on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of this council. The council will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the council cannot act on items that are not on the agenda. So I do have one speaker slip, and I'll call up Ms. Paulette Messenheimer.
My husband and I turned in a document about that Rick told us to fill out when he was the ordinance person, and it was about the law for only 4 yard sales a year, because the house next, we live in a 55 and older community called Golden West. And the house next door to me, my good friend died when she was 99. Her granddaughter has had over 60 yard sales. She calls them estate sales. And she puts signs up on all of the stop signs and all of the big signs on the pike, which I think is illegal. You're not supposed to do that. So I'm bringing this up because that those yard sales were on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and many times so many cars parked in front of my house, my trash bins, blue bins, green bins weren't picked up because the South County waste truck couldn't make it past those cars. I mean, mine were on the sidewalk and the cars were parking in front of it. So that was, I hope you can vote on that ordinance again so that there's only 4 a year. That would really help a lot, especially for people who are 55 and older and, you know, can't change where they live right now. So thank you for letting me talk about that.
Very good. Thank you for your comments. Let's see if there's any other member of the public that wants to come forward to speak on public comment tonight.
Hello, Mayor Lee and City Council.
Good evening, sir.
My name is Anthony Wayne Embry. I live at 1624 Trueville Avenue, Grover Beach, California. And I would like to know if you have any plans for the electric scooters, electric skateboards that are doing 35 miles an hour down 16th Street, through stop signs, past cars, when stop cars are stopped at the stop sign. This is something that should be addressed because it's a hazard, a severe hazard, just waiting to happen. The next thing I'd like to ask you about is, I'd like to compliment you on your work that you did on Oak Park. Some people may not like it, but I think it looks great. I don't know how functional it is. I don't use it that often. But what you did do is you transferred most of the traffic on Oak Park over to 16th Street now. And with the one lane, the way it's set up, probably 40 to 50% of that traffic never transferred back to Oak Park, so they're still using 16th Street, which kind of I don't like because I've lived there since it was a dead end. However, 3-4 years ago, you promised me some speed indicator signs on 16th Street when you put the stop sign in on 16th and Trueville. I have asked every year multiple times when those are going to go in. Many times it was, it's real soon. Then it was, we'll do it in February. March, what happened? Also, if I go back to the first time I spoke with our city planner, Mr. Ray, he told me that stop signs were not to slow traffic down, they were to divert traffic. And if his statement was accurate, then I would like to say we need two more stop signs on 16th Street to divert that 50% of traffic back to 13th and Oak Park. And that's all I'll say tonight. I'll be back next week. Thank you and have a great day.
Good to see you, Mr. Embry. Thank you for your comments. Let me see if there's anyone else in the audience that wants to speak under public communication. Seeing no one else come forward, this is an opportunity for people to call in at 805-321-6639. So I'll turn to our city clerk, see if there's anyone on the line for public comment.
No, we have no one on the line.
Very good. Thank you. I will go ahead and close public comment, bring it back to the council, so and see if let me turn to our city manager for just a moment. Our first speaker was speaking about the ordinance for yard sales. So refresh my memory, if you would, or if you would get back in touch with Ms. Messenheimer on the status of that portion of the ordinance.
Sure, I can speak to this. The council previously provided direction to staff to revisit the garage sale, yard sale component in our development code. It had been inadvertently deleted in a previous update. We are working on that, and we'll bring that to you as part of the development code updates that you'll hear on May 23rd. And staff will be intending to reinstate the up to 4 yard sales per year per property as part of that update.
Very good. Thank you very much for that. Ms. Messenheimer, we'll look forward to seeing you in May, if not before. So our next speaker, Mr. Embry, which it's always good to see you, sir, had a couple of different items. And let me turn to the chief first, if you would, to speak with respect to the electric scooters and stop signs. I'm not sure if you're aware of the situation or if you guys have been, the force has been tracking that. I don't know if you want to say a few words on that.
Yes, anybody who is riding an electric scooter or bicycle or anything has to obey the stop signs. Our officers have been issuing citations for those violations, so they are taking enforcement action. I'll alert them and let them know that there's some extra patrol requests for 16th Street as well.
Okay. Very good. And just to confirm, someone on an electric scooter is required to wear a helmet. Is that correct?
It depends. And it depends on age. Number one, so if they're a juvenile, yes, they do have to wear a helmet. And it also depends on the speed and the capabilities of that scooter.
Very good.
May I ask a question?
Thank you, Chief. Yes, Mayor Pro Tem.
Thank you. Chief, I'm just wondering if anyone riding on an electric bike or that type of a, I guess it's a vehicle, do they have to follow all the same vehicle laws as everyone else?
Yes.
You're driving a car?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Councilmember Rushing.
Thank you. Just following up on that one as well, when you say you issue citations to these folks, do those carry the same weight as a regular motor vehicle citation, or is that in a separate category?
It's the same as a motor vehicle citation, and when they go to court, and then it's up to the judge on how he adjudicates it.
So in theory, it could carry with it points against a license?
Exactly.
Okay, thank you.
Very good. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Any other questions to my right?
Thank you.
Very good. So a couple other comments or questions that Mr. Embry brought up. I'll turn to either our city manager or our city public works director. Mr. Bronson, so there was, I think the speed indicators were kind of blended in with the functionality of South Oak Park and the traffic diverting back onto South Oak Park from 16th Street, which my gut tells me is probably a matter of time as people get familiar with the new configuration on Oak Park. But can you speak to the speed indicators, if you would, please?
I can, Mr. Mayor. Thank you. So we are moving forward with the speed indicators. We do a number of traffic safety initiatives every year, from the crosswalks at 3rd and Grand to the work we did at North Oak Park and Grand Avenue. Every year we have a work program of traffic safety items, and this was one of the items identified. I will say that we ordered the signs earlier this year. I say signs because we also have one coming on the Pike as well. Right in between Oak Park and 13th Street, in that long section next to the drainage basin. So both signs have been ordered. The challenge is getting them delivered. We've been promised a delivery date only to have that fall through time and time again, perhaps given supply chain issues, given delivery issues, but we are diligently working to get those two signs in place and installed, as well as to update the bulbs and signage on North Oak Park, as we have some of the bulbs that have gone out on those speed signs. So we'll be updating that sign as well. So signs are coming.
Very good. Appreciate that update. So then, Mr. Ray, I want to give you an opportunity to address Mr. Embry's comments, if you so chose, and with respect to stop signs on 16th Street, and then also the functionality of traffic moving from South Oak Park onto 16th during construction, and how long would you expect it to take before drivers would kind of transfer back onto South Oak Park, or will folks make a habit of staying on South 16th?
Good evening, Mayor. Greg Ray, Public Works Director, City Engineer. I think your comments with regard to the just some timing and kind of wait-and-see approach is probably spot on. And then, as Matt said, with regard to the speed signs, we've ordered them quite a while ago. We're not sure what the supply chain issues are. Interesting, they've marketed us in the meantime trying to get more business from us. So we're kind of confused, but we're trying to get those, and I think they'll help. They'll help to encourage people to use the arterials instead of the side streets. So.
Very good. Thank you very much. So that will close our public comment portion and take us to our consent agenda, where we have a number of routine items that are scheduled for consideration as a whole. Let's check to my left, see if there's any questions that council members have on the consent agenda.
Not here.
Yep. No. Questions to my right?
Not here.
Yep. Very good. So there is an opportunity for members of the public to ask questions or speak on any item on the consent agenda by either calling in at 805-321-6639 or being in person. So let me check first in person here if anyone has public comment on the consent agenda. Seeing no one come forward, I'll turn to our city clerk, see if there's anyone on the line for public comment on the consent agenda.
No, there's no one on the line.
Very good. Then I will go ahead and close public comments, bring it back to the council. I had one comment on item number 6. Let's see if there's any comments that council members have on any of the other items. So, and I'll just go ahead and make my quick comments, is that in the staff report, there was a consideration of an extension for 1 year for this audit. And I think in prudent practice, that is a very good thing that we've done. I want to commend staff for using opportunity with HDL, industry leader, for the first several years, and we look forward to them also proposing on the RFP as we go forward for future audit services if they so choose. But I did want the public to know that we are going to go out for an RFP for as best practices for an audit prior to next year's contract. So with that, unless there's any other comments, I'll look for a motion on the consent agenda.
I'll make a motion that we accept the consent agenda as written.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second. So roll call, please.
Councilmember Robert?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Bright?
Yes.
Councilmember Miller?
Yes.
Councilmember Rushing?
Yes.
Mayor Lee?
Yes. Very good. So we have an approved consent agenda. And before I move on to our public hearing, I do want to say thank you to Mr. Buckingham, if he's still in the house. Different Mr. Buckingham. Mr. Bruce Buckingham, for the work that our planning staff has done on the 2021 annual report on the implementation of the general plan. So thank you for that. And that'll take us to our public hearings. So these are an opportunity again for the public to weigh in on the item. And our first before we get there, do call in at 805-321-6639 if you want to speak on these items. And there is also speaker slips to our right. So our first public hearing is the second reading and adoption of an ordinance to add a new Chapter 3.2 to Article 2, Administration of the Grover Beach Municipal Code, to define the boundaries for district-based city council elections. With that tongue twister, I'll turn it over to our Deputy City Manager, Ms. Erickson.
Way to get through that, Mayor Lee. That was wonderful. Thank you to you, and welcome, Council, here for our last public hearing for our districting process. Just to give a little background, you already are well aware of, but we've had an exceptional amount of public engagement throughout this process, including two public hearings in 2021 and a public workshop that year, as well as two other public hearings for consideration of draft maps earlier this year. And then finally, the district boundaries ordinance was introduced on March 14th. This should look familiar to you all by now. This is the selected map, and the ordinance that you adopt today will codify these boundaries as the district boundaries for the next 10 years. And just to close on this very brief hearing, we are going to continue our public communications campaign to make sure the public has as good an understanding of what these new district boundaries are and what they mean to elections going forward. We'll have an informational mailer that will come out ahead of the 2022 elections process. We're going to continue on with our social media and other city communications to make sure that we're very clear about those. And then also on our districting website, there is an interactive map tool that can allow anyone in the public to look up their own address or anyone else's that they're aware of, and it'll pinpoint which district you are in. So if there's any confusion, if you're not sure which side of the boundary you land on, this tool will help. So I think Wendy right now is looking up City Hall. All right. And so now we see that City Hall is within the boundary of District 3. And so, like I said, any resident can do this with their address within the city to find out where they need to go. And just as a reminder, it will be Districts 1 and 2 that will be going up for election in 2022, with Districts 3 and 4 to follow in 2024. And the mayor election will be every 2 years. So the final recommendation then is that your council adopt the ordinance officially beginning district-based elections in the city.
Very good. Thank you for that presentation. Let me see if there's any questions to my right.
No questions.
Council, or questions to my left?
No.
Very good.
Can't talk. And no, thank you.
Just a brief tongue-in-cheek question, and the fact that City Hall itself cannot actually vote. So this would be an encouragement for people to register to vote, because you do need to be a registered voter within the city of Grover Beach in order to participate in our elections in 2022.
That is an excellent point, Mayor, and I think they can contact the city clerk's office if they have questions about that.
Very good. Thank you so much. So let's see. This is a public hearing. So I will go ahead and open the public hearing, see if there's any member of the public in the chamber that wants to speak on this item. Please come forward. Seeing no one come forward, I'll go ahead and close. Excuse me. I'll turn to our city clerk, see if there's anyone on the line by call who may have called in at 805-321-6639 for public comment.
No, there's no one on the line.
Very good. I will go ahead and close public comment, public hearing, and bring it back to the council for consideration and direction.
I'll move to adopt the ordinance to add Chapter 3.2 to Article 2, Administration of the Grover Beach Municipal Code, to define boundaries for district-based city council elections.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Miller?
Yes.
Councilmember Robert?
Yes.
Councilmember Rushing?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Bright?
Yes.
Mayor Lee?
Yes. Very good. So we have finalized our district election process. Very good. So,
may I make a comment?
Of course.
Thank you. I just want to thank you, staff, for the forward thinking, for public information and education in this day and age when it is becoming harder and harder to vote. So I really appreciate you doing that so that folks know when they, you know, when their district is up for election and so on. So thank you for that.
Yes. Very good. So that does take us to our regular calendar, our regular business items tonight, which, as a reminder, you can be in the chamber to speak under public comment or call in at 805-321-6639. And that'll take us to item number 10, which is our license agreement with Radiate Holdco LLC for the use of communication conduits for citywide fiber optic broadband expansion. So I see Deputy City Manager Erickson and City Attorney Hale. So who's going to lead the presentation?
That will be me. Can't get rid of me tonight. Sorry about that. We're here to talk about this really important agreement that we're going to have here for licenses to expand broadband capability throughout the city. Can you advance it, please? There we go. A little bit of background on this. In 2010, the council voted on a technology master plan, and that plan recommended development of a municipal broadband network to encourage economic development within the city. In 2016, we entered into an agreement with what was then Digital West to have the city install conduit, largely in the coastal business area and industrial area around there. And then in 2018, construction of the conduit and Digital West installation of fiber optic cable was completed. In 2021, Digital West was acquired by Astound Broadband, which is also part of Radiant Holdings, which you saw earlier. And they are seeking to expand their service in Grover Beach to all businesses and residences within the city. And then on March 1st, 2022, the Planning Commission approved a coastal development permit for the project. And with that, I'm actually going to turn this over to our partners with Astound. We have here Jason Flowers and Jeff Buckingham, and also online we have Derek Anderson and John Mosher.
Thank you very much, Deputy City Manager Kristen Erickson. To our mayor here in Grover Beach, Mayor Lee, the council members and city officials, just want to say thank you for our time. My name is Jason Flowers. I am the new market development manager for Astound Broadband. And as you mentioned before, I do have Jeff Buckingham with me here as well. Next slide. So just to give a little bit of background that was mentioned before, in 2018, Digital West began construction of the Grover Beach fiber optic network in partnership with the city. Services began in 2019 to business areas of town and have added business customers at a relatively slow pace. In early 2021, Digital West was acquired by Wave Broadband, along with RCN, which is located in the Midwest and East Coast, and Grande, located in the southwest part of our country, to become the sixth largest cable company and broadband service provider. Recently, we have rebranded under one name, Astound Broadband, serving both the commercial and residential markets. Astound is excited to expand our fiber network throughout Grover Beach. The purpose of this proposed project is to provide an alternate all-fiber internet service provider, providing choice and unmatched service to most residential and commercial lots within the city. So the project proposed includes the installation of fiber optic cable that can provide high-performance data networking and telecommunications. So compared to wire cables or copper cables found in telephone lines, fiber optic cables provide higher bandwidth and transmit data over long distances. Fiber optic cables can provide high-speed internet at speeds up to and beyond 1 gigabyte per second. Typically, these speeds are 100 times faster than a standard cable internet connection and up to 200 times faster than a DSL connection. This project will be broken out into two separate phases. So before we go to the two separate phases, I did want to point out the Digital West completed project here. It goes right along the West Grand Avenue street from east to west, right along the middle of the city, and then comes down from north to south along the coastline. Next slide, please. And these are the first two phases that we're going to be starting on that actually started quarter four of last year. We have the blue shaded area, which is phase one, and then we're going to move on to phase two, which is the green shaded area for the city of Grover. So phase one will provide roughly 1,800 homes with services that we can provide to and 128 businesses. Phase two will provide almost 3,000 homes with services that are capable, we're capable of providing to, and almost 650 businesses as well. Next slide. So as we mentioned before, there's going to be two phases. We started in quarter three for phase one, and it's going to include engineering, design, permitting, and construction, which we look to kick off in quarter two of 2022 and ending this year of quarter three. And then phase two, we started in 2021 in quarter four. Again, engineering, design, permitting, construction. And construction will be completed in 2023, quarter one. That is our proposal. And it's showing here, after we complete phases one and two, which is going to be the southern part of Grover Beach, we want to expand to the upper level, which is right above West Grand Avenue, to expand to those areas as well. And then the next slide shows all of our total construction with both the north and southern part of Grover Beach, and then also what we've already completed through Digital West. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, Jason. And just to wrap it up, to give you a glimpse of the terms of this license agreement, it is an initial 10-year term with two possible 10-year extensions. The city will have an annual license fee revenue of just under $10,000 per year, and Astound will be responsible for maintaining their single-use conduit, and the city will be responsible for our city-installed conduit under the terms of that agreement. And important to note here that this is a really unique opportunity for the city to expand our residents and our businesses' access to high-speed broadband without committing any additional governmental or city funding. So a really great opportunity here. And with that, I will turn it over back to your council with the recommendation that you approve the agreement for the initial 10-year term. And we're, of course, available for questions.
Very good. Thank you for that presentation, Ms. Erickson and Mr. Flowers. Appreciate that. Mr. Buckingham, always good to see you. Let's turn to my left first and see if there's any questions.
No questions.
Just one, actually, in regards to activities after phase two. You'd mentioned plans for North Grover Beach. Do you have a general concept of what the timeline looked like for that?
Nothing concrete right now, but probably 6 to 9 months after completing phases one and two.
Okay. Thank you.
Very good. Any questions to my right?
No questions.
Yes, please.
Yes. Mayor Pro Tem.
Thank you. Thank you for the presentation. Appreciate it. So after the full build-out, including North Grover Beach, will that service all the residents and businesses within our city limits?
Yes. Yes. Okay. So the entire city of Grover Beach, we plan to be able to provide services to the entire city, business and residential.
Very good. Thank you.
Very good. And then just perhaps piggybacking off of that question, is phase one and phase two, are those conduit in the ground, aerial, or is there a split between buried conduit and aerial runs?
Yes, it's going to be a split between underground and aerial as well. So it's going to be part of the project altogether.
Okay. And so from that perspective, it's obviously the conduit in the ground, the maintenance is a little more difficult than the aerial. But obviously you've got the either contractors or manpower to be able to do maintenance on both of those.
Yes.
Those service types.
Yes.
And on the maps, the blue portion is aerial,
and the red portion is underground.
Oh, great. Okay. Thank you. Appreciate that. Okay. And then as you roll out the services, what's your plan for marketing to our residents and our businesses to make sure that they're aware of this opportunity?
Yeah, we have a great marketing team. There'll be things that were mailed out. You'll start seeing commercials provided in the area as well. And then we also have direct sales reps that will be provided in the area that will go door knocking, letting everyone know, hey, Stound is in the area. We're ready to provide great services for everyone.
Very good. Okay. Thank you very much. Let me see if there's any members of the public that want to speak on this item tonight. Come forward. And let me turn to our city clerk, see if there's anyone on the line who wants to speak on this item.
No, we have no one on the line.
Very good. Then we'll go ahead and close public comment on this item, see if there's any closing comments that either of you gentlemen want to make.
Just thank you for your time, Mayor Lee. And we appreciate the council and the city officials.
Very good. Thank you very much. So let me bring it back to the council for consideration.
I have a comment.
Certainly.
So I believe that the expansion is going to be it's a positive development for the residents of Dover Beach and for business owners in the area. It'll also be a positive development for the city as it creates opportunities for us to attract new businesses and residents. So I am in support. Thank you.
Very good. Anyone else have any comments, or someone ready to make a motion?
I'll make a motion that we approve the agreement. I think that's sufficient.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Let me check with our city attorney, make sure that within Mayor Bertem's motion was an understanding that we're moving staff's recommendation. Is that acceptable?
That's what I was trying to say, and I couldn't get it out of my mouth.
Yes, I think that's adequate.
Thank you.
Very good. Madam City Clerk, roll call, please.
Mayor Pro Tem Bright?
Yes.
Councilmember Robert?
Yes.
Councilmember Miller?
Yes.
Councilmember Rushing?
Yes.
Mayor Lee?
Yes. Very good. So we have a license agreement. Thank you, gentlemen. Congratulations, Radiate Holds Co. LLC. We look forward to your successful business enterprises in Grover Beach and the benefits that that will make to our residents and our businesses as well. And before we move on to the next item, let me turn to our city manager, Mr. Bronson, for his comments.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just a quick comment. Thank you, Council, for your action this evening and for your leadership over a decade in identifying a vision for better connectivity in our community. With your action, with the rollout by Astound, we'll be the first city on the Central Coast with citywide broadband fiber accessibility to every resident and every business within our community. No other community in this region can say that. Broadband fiber is a game changer, and we are ahead of the game. Thank you to the council.
We're here. Thank you for those comments. And I'm going to tongue-in-cheek ask Mr. Buckingham if the name changes can fit on one hand. So, but we're happy to have Astound with us. And with that, let's say thank you very much. And we'll move to our item number 11, which is our fiscal year 23-27 capital improvement program, an overview and direction from the council. So I'll turn to our public works director, Mr. Ray, and our CIP manager, Ms. Wiggin, and see who's going to lead the presentation.
Good evening, Honorable Mayor. Timer. Good evening, Honorable Mayor and City Council. Greg Ray, Public Works Director. Aaron Wiggin, our Capital Program Manager, will be leading the discussion this evening, and I'm here to pinch hit on questions if they come up.
Very good. Thank you, Ms. Wiggin.
Hello, Honorable Mayor. It's good to be back here. I haven't even seen a lot of you in person, so I'm Aaron Wiggin. I'm the CIP Manager. It's good to see you in person. I'll jump right in here on the draft capital improvement program that we have for you tonight. Just a brief background. So this is a draft that we're presenting for your review and direction. We identify projects and funding sources for the next five-year period, so fiscal year 23-27. And our intent is to advance projects related to your goals and priorities. And we also provide the proposed budget updates for next fiscal year. First, I'd like to just briefly go through completed projects this year. This year was quite the year. We're still not done yet, but we are about $8 million in to complete $12 million this year. Some of the highlights include, well, I'll just go through each category. So with the parks, obviously the 16th Street Park improvements, this picture that the vendor took, this park is now so heavily utilized that their photographer had to get out there at 6:30 in the morning to get this picture. When no one was there, it was the only time that they could get that shot. And then we also completed the DG pathway at the Mentone Basin Park along Trouville, where we also reconfigured the parking over there with part of the street project. And our big area here are street projects, as always. And you can see our major street project here, South Oak Park. You can also see actually part of our Measure K project that we completed earlier this year with parts of Manhattan and Seabright and Trouville in the same picture here. And we're also, so we completed two Measure K projects last year, and we have a third one underway right now that's going on right now just down the street. And that's about 70% complete, and we'll finish that in a few weeks here. And then we also finished our CDBG project, our water main upgrade project. And we have another water main upgrade project, not to be confused with the CDBG project, that wasn't eligible for CDBG funds. So that one's about 70% complete as well. And by the time we finish these two projects, we'll have upsized pretty much all of the undersized mains in the city. And then we also finished the Highland Sewer project and then Nacimiento lift station upgrades. This slide, I wanted to put this in here to just show, a representative block. So this block you might be familiar with. It's at the Grange on Manhattan between 12th and 13th. And what I was trying to show was how much planning and phasing and funding sources go into a project. And this single block really represents what goes into these projects. So I didn't have a good before picture that would fit on this slide, but we have the Safe Routes to School grant that was funded and completed in 2020. And then you might remember the interim condition where we had the gutter a little bit higher than the street, well, a lot higher than the street for a little bit, but then we came behind with our water line grant funds and did some water line work on that street. And then we recently just paved the street with the Measure K project about a few weeks ago. So I just thought this block was just a really good representation of phasing and planning these projects. So now I'll move into fiscal year 23 for our next fiscal year here. We have 20 projects with a budget, again, of about $12 million, and 9 different funding sources. And those projects span fiscal years. Most of these projects were approved last year as part of the budget process. So this draft is an overview, and I'll just touch on some modifications and updates that we will have here. So going through with the parks, we have the design and construction documents for the implementation of the Ramona Garden Park Master Plan this fiscal year 23. And then in public buildings and facilities, we have the corporation yard design and property acquisition. We have the disability access improvements. And then we have two new projects that we've included in the draft, and that's this facilities conditions and needs assessment, and then a project for the fire station upgrades. Oops. Okay. And then our largest funded category in the CIP is the streets and storm drains category. So we have a street lighting project. We have the train station stormwater alternative compliance project, which is actually at 3rd and Manhattan. And then we have the sidewalk infill, which is actually coordinated with the Measure K projects, because that is the cost sharing sidewalk program that you adopted last year. So we're tracking that separately, but that will be with the associated Measure K projects. And then we have our next major street project, which is the West Grand Avenue streetscape. So I included the photo on the bottom. The intent is to include center medians and do similar construction to what we have at 4th and then 8th to 11th. And then we have two Measure K projects slated for next year. The first one listed there is currently under design right now. Moving on to our water line projects, this year we're shifting from, I should say, water line, and we're doing more water facilities. Central Coast Blue is our largest funding project right now. And then we have the water main zone valves, well capacity analysis, a water meter replacement program, the reservoir maintenance, and then we have improvements that we will be doing with the Measure K projects. And then this year, or fiscal year 23, the sewer is actually the second largest funded category in the CIP. And what we're proposing this year is, last year, the adopted CIP included two separate projects for, one for to support existing flows, and then one to support future flows. We actually looked at combining those just because of logistics and the scope. It made sense to combine it. So next fiscal year we'll be in construction with one larger sewer wastewater project, followed by the design with a separate wastewater project. And then we also have the Front Street lift station upgrades. I like to show this graphic just showing the total that we're projecting next year is over $12 million. And then obviously half of that is your streets and storm drains category. Then it's followed by wastewater with almost $3 million worth of improvements. Then the water, about $2 million. The public buildings and facilities, about $1 million. And then the parks. Looking at our unfunded needs, it's about $53 million, which is less than last year. It was down from $56 million. This includes projects like the multi-generational community center, the City Hall Civic Center. There's a portion of the Ramona Garden Park improvements that aren't funded yet, so that's listed here. The citywide disability access improvements. Major street rehabilitation that aren't currently in the CIP, like the Pike and Farrell and El Camino, and then West Grand Avenue storm drain project. Other unfunded needs, we heard from the Parks and Recreation and Beautification Commission that had some recommendations that are currently not funded. I thought I would present them here. Some of the ideas that were discussed at their last meeting include some exercise equipment at the perimeter of Mentone Basin Park, a new softball field at 16th Street Park, community center improvements, possible dog park, and then a public art project. So looking at our fiscal impact section, this again, we have nine different funding sources, and $2.2 million is from the general fund, and that's supporting the Corp Yard property acquisition and design, the disability access improvements, the facilities conditions and needs assessment, the fire station improvements, and then a large portion of the West Grand Avenue streetscape project. We have our parks development impact fee, which will be for the Ramona Garden Park design documents, and then gas tax funds, which are about $100,000. That will be for the sidewalk infill cost sharing program, and then the West Grand Avenue streetscape project. Then we also have the LTF funding. At the time of publishing the staff report, the allocation was $160,000. The allocation is a lot higher, and I think there's a balance in the LTF account as well. So the allocation is closer to probably, I think, around $900,000. So it's quite a bit more, and there's a lot of ways to allocate that, but it when I got the information, it was really a domino effect of how to reallocate funds for other projects. So it will be updated for the draft, and we can look at reducing some of the general fund contributions and things like that to make some of these projects happen. Then we also have the RMRA funding, or the SB1 funding, and that's right now $241,000, but I think that will go up a little bit too, not as much as the LTF, but I think about $25,000 more, so that'll be updated in the final document as well. Then we also have the Measure K bonds, and that will that's about $3 million for those two projects. There is a bar attached to the staff report because I'm looking to advance the design for 2295-15 to start that at the end of this fiscal year. And then the water fund, that mostly will support Central Coast Blue, and then again the projects, the water main zone valves, the meter replacements, the well capacity analysis, the reservoir maintenance, and then improvements with the street project. And then the wastewater development impact fee and the wastewater fund will support that large sewer line project. and then the Front Street lift station. And we also, I believe, will have ARPA funding available. We don't have the amounts yet, but that will be available, I believe, in time for the final document. So I'm looking for your input and direction to update this document for the final to come to you in May or June. If you have any questions.
Very good. Thank you, Ms. Wiggin, for that presentation. So let me ask a first procedural question of Mr. Bronson. Ms. Wiggin referenced a bar or a budget adjustment, and I didn't see it as part of the staff report. Was that a late addition that I didn't see? Because I don't see it as part of our action for tonight.
The actual document is included within the packet, but correct. It's not part of the recommended action for this evening. So what the council could do is provide direction for that, and then we could bring it back for formal action at a later meeting to have that announcement in the agenda.
Gotcha. Okay, yeah, because the budget adjustment it would be for a particular project that we would need to effectively provide direction for tonight and then ratify. Okay. Correct. Okay, sorry, yeah. I'm understanding that. Okay, great. Very good. Let me see if there's any questions to my right. Councilmember Robert.
No questions, Mayor.
Mayor Pro Tem Bright?
Yes, thank you. Regarding the streetlight project, you know, we've had a lot of comments from our residents about Mr. Reynos, about the streetlights and so on. The CIP description didn't really say what the plan was there. Is it to add more streetlights, or can you just explain that project a little bit, please?
Sure, it is to add more streetlights. We do have to coordinate with PG&E on that, and if you want to add a little bit more.
There it is. It's just infill in areas, you know, in between existing streetlights, as you're aware, there's a, you know, streetlight of roughly every intersection. In some areas, that's still relatively dark, and it's a process with PG&E. Any process with PG&E is a bit time consuming, but we're hoping to get the first phase on the street this year, hopefully, and then we'll continue every year with that budget allocation to continue to infill. Right now, the priorities identified by council was on North Oak Park, and then we'll move to North Fourth Street. Yes.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Very good. Councilmember Miller, any questions?
No questions.
Councilmember Rushing?
No, sir. Thank you.
Very good. I did have just a couple questions, one of which was the actually be a comment on the Gateway Sign project in the near future. So the LTF funding, local transportation funds, so that's going to go higher. So is there a prioritization that you'd be looking for us to provide you tonight, or would you take the first shot, or would you like us to take kind of a prioritization request of the projects that are unfunded or in not fully funded? So how would you prefer us to tackle that one?
I think the staff's first idea anyway was to supplement a general fund funded street. It has to be a street project since it's LTF funding, but would be to offset what is currently allocated as general funds with LTF, and then if there's additional funds available over in excess of what we've allocated in general fund, then we could consider applying it to a different project, or perhaps bringing another project up into the mix with that additional LTF allocation. Right now, we would just recommend considering probably the major street project, anything that's, you know, a street project that's currently general fund funded.
Very good. Appreciate that. So then my last question has to do with the popularity of the 16th Street Park and the fact that it's probably going to get pretty tired pretty quick with that many kids crawling all over it from a maintenance standpoint and an upkeep standpoint. So do we have any projections for the lifespan of the equipment? Are we working with the I think it was what, PlayStation, I think was? No. Playcore. So to make sure that we're doing what we need as a city from a maintenance standpoint, but at this point it could be potentially on its way to being worn out within its warranty period. So I'm wondering if if we have any thoughts on that.
Given its newness, no, I don't think we've considered that yet, but we do have a regular parks safety maintenance inspections we do on a regular basis with our field operation crew, and we maintain, repair, replace components, check for corrosion and things like that. So we haven't seen anything. Well, I shouldn't say that. There was a couple of issues early on, but I think they were directly related to the installation. Since then, it's been holding up pretty well. But no, that's a good thought. Thank you for bringing that up.
Certainly. It's that facility condition assessment thought part of my brain. So that's all the questions I had. Any questions get generated from others? Councilmember Robert.
What is the warranty period on that equipment?
So it varies based on different components. It's not like it's straightforward. So some things are a year, some things are five, and then some are 10.
Depends on the.
Yeah.
I understand. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. I will go ahead and open this up to the public, see if there's any members of the public that want to speak on this item. Please come forward. Mr. Embry, good to see you again.
Thank you for your time. Actually, I see we have 2.18 million on water improvement projects, and I don't have a problem with that, but what I do have a problem with is the quality of our water, and I don't think any of the projects addresses the quality of our drinking water, because it's not drinkable in Grover Beach. You have to put in a complete water system to be able to drink it, or you can use it for your laundry, you can use it for your yard. This has been a problem for years and years. I think if you look at the 16th Street Park, you'll find a facility there that was abandoned and neglected for so long it doesn't operate anymore. And that's what that was there originally put in for, was to make our drinking water usable. So I'm just curious as to, is there any improvements in the quality of drinking water that you're going to be working on in the next year? Because, as I say, it's not drinkable. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Let me see if there's any other members of the public that want to speak on this item tonight. We'll go ahead and turn to our city clerk and see if there's anyone on the line who may have called in at 805-321-6639 for public comment on this item.
No, we have no one on the line.
Very good. I will go ahead and one last chance in the chamber if anybody wants to come forward. I'll go ahead and close public comments, bring it back to the council. Let me turn to Mr. Ray first to see if there's a response to Mr. Embry's question regarding water quality and any potential projects.
So short answer, no. No planned projects to significantly alter the chemistry or treat the you know existing water chemistry. And the water's actually over the years has slowly been improving in quality, and that's just in terms of the EPA requirements for you know safe drinking water. Granted, though, given your one of your primary water sources, Lopez, you do get some taste issues related to that, and also to some extent one of our groundwater sources. It's not that it's bad for you or unhealthy. You can drink it. It just isn't the best tasting drinking water in some cases, especially during certain years with Lopez. But generally, no plans to further enhance the taste of the water. I say that, however, there is a project in the works at Lopez that may have an impact on that in the future. So we'll have to wait and see how that project comes out. It could actually somewhat enhance the taste of water coming from Lopez.
Gotcha. So perhaps maybe a request, and as I know either you or a member of your staff sits on the technical advisory committee for the Lopez Zone 3. Is that something that you can share with them, a concern that was brought forward by one, if not more, of our residents with regards to the taste, and just to get a sense of when that project may be coming forward, if you would, please?
I'd be happy to.
Okay, great. Very good. Mayor Pro Tem Bright, looked like you were moving around. May have a question.
Yes, please. I'm just wondering, Mr. Ray, if you are aware of any other cities that receive a good portion of their drinking water from Lopez. First of all, is there something that cities can do? And do you know if there are other cities that are doing such a thing?
So, good question. So, Rio Grande, Oceano, Pismo Beach and Grover Beach all receive, well, actually, and San Miguelito and Avila Beach, to some extent, receive water from Lopez. No one provides an additional level of treatment. The water's treated at Lopez in a treatment plant that's up there. I'm not aware of any city around us, at least I shouldn't, any city that relies primarily on either groundwater and a commercial source of water like Lopez or state water in our case, that has an additional treatment system. I know San Luis treats its own water and does treat for taste and odor, but in our case, we essentially buy our water or pump groundwater.
Got it. Thank you. Thank you.
Very good. So any other questions that got generated?
Councilmember Miller?
No.
Okay. So, Mr. Ray, I'm wondering if you can expand on the information you provided regarding the project at Lopez that might enhance the taste of water and maybe the timing on that project?
That's a great question, and I don't recall the timing on it. I my best recollection that it was expected to be in place and operational sometime next year, and I don't know much more on the details. My understanding was that it would have an improvement, though, on the sort of a musty taste that you get from the Lopez water.
Thank you.
Any other questions to my right? Very good. So, and Mr. Ray, one last question on the, and I know we're focusing on water quality at the moment. So the county does put out a, I forget what it's called, but it's like a like a consideration report or a consumer confidence report, right, in water. So where is that available, if you happen to know?
The annual consumer confidence reports are due, because we also fill one out. They're due to the EPA here coming up in April, and once they're completed, they'll be submitted to the EPA and will be available online. In the case of the county, it would be on the County Public Works website, and in the case of City of Grover Beach, it'll be on our city website.
Okay, very good. Appreciate that. And then, so Mr. Embry obviously brought forward the quality of water, but it does meet safe drinking water standards. Taste is not a particular standard, right? But it does meet all of the necessary standards for safe drinking water.
It exceeds all the EPA standards for safe drinking water. Taste and odor are a water quality constituent. However, the bar is pretty low. You know, generally speaking, the water can taste. I mean, I'm sure you've been to different cities where you get different tastes from different water supplies. The bar is pretty low on taste and odor.
Gotcha. Okay. Very good. Appreciate that information. So let's bring it back to the council for additional comments. Or it looks like this is, receive the draft and then provide direction to finalize the CIP. So let's see if there's any comments from members to my right. No, Mayor.
Yes, please.
Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
Thank you. I just wanted to talk a little bit about the facilities conditions and need assessment. I think that is an excellent tool. I really appreciate you bringing that forward so that we can determine and analyze, you know, the city facilities and what the requirements are going to be, so we can plan for those. I don't think people really realize how much money is spent on things we don't even see. Under the ground, the sewer system, the water system, and all like that. But the public facilities, most of ours are incredibly aged. And so I just want to thank you for bringing that forward, because I think it is very important for us to have that information. And I think this is my only... Oh, no, one more. Fire station. Thank you for you guys bringing that forward as well. That facility has really not had much maintenance or renovation. And so if you've ever been in that fire station here behind us, it's in sad shape. So appreciate that. And that's it. Thank you.
Very good. Any comments to my left?
I have a comment.
Certainly.
I'd like to just acknowledge the incredible amount of work that's been accomplished despite the challenges of multiple funding sources and having to juggle the complex phasing and planning that's needed to get all these projects done. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm going to echo a little bit of Councilmember Miller's notes on this. I think it's absolutely amazing what we have here in the next few years, looking at increased budgets year over year and finally tackling some of, I mean, I've been in Grover Beach for about 19 years at this point, and there used to be a time where I would say where I was, and the first thing they would be was talking about streets, talking about this, talking about that. Now I go into places, and people are constantly like, how can we do what Grover Beach is doing? What is in your water, so to speak, that is convincing you to do that? So I want to thank you for all your work. I look forward to seeing what comes down the road, and thank you again.
Very good, and I'll echo those comments. And it's always a great this item is such a great opportunity to say thank you for the work that has been done, and to encourage the action that Grover Beach has become known for. To Councilmember Rushing and everyone else's comments is, we have been able to do very productive, very beneficial projects for the businesses, for the residents, and for the visitors by being action oriented and being focused. So back in 2014, when the community said yes to Measure K, it really, I think, spurred an opportunity for us to say the community wants us to do these things and has elected us to do those various things, and we have an amazing staff to be able to put those things into place with the encouragement and the pushing of those in our community that want us to go faster, which is always a good thing. So with that, let's see if there's any changes or updates or modifications to the CIP. I did want to say thank you for including a gateway sign as part of our unfunded needs on Grand Avenue. So I look forward to seeing that come to fruition as a funded need at some point. And I also did want to say thank you to the Parks and Rec and Beautification Commission. I would have shared this later, but I the city manager and myself did go to their meeting a week or so ago and encouraged them to think big. And so they did come forward with some very good ideas. Public art, I think, is one that is kind of one of those low hanging fruit that we can kind of work forward from, and then an opportunity to continue to advance some of those unfunded parks and rec and beautification ideas, whether it's to be a dog park, which has other elements that may need to be under discussion before we actually commit to a dog park, but to equipment, to other opportunities, which are really a way for our community members to be outside, to enjoy the spaces that we have, and to enjoy not just the infrastructure that we have, but also the amenities that we have in Grover Beach. So with that, I'm definitely supportive of providing direction to staff to finalize the CIP and coming back with their first pass at what to do with the additional LTF funds and other programs as part of the fiscal year 22-23 budget. So anyone else have any changes, modifications, updates, or course correction?
No, sir.
Looks good. Very good. So I kind of hear consensus on the dais for that. Let me turn to staff on either side, see if you need anything else from us.
No, sir. We hear the council loud and clear, and this item is an annual opportunity to share with the council and the public what our plan is for the next 5 years in our capital improvement program, and to hear any input, questions, any course corrections, and we didn't hear any. And I think ultimately the LTF projection is a really good news story that we just learned late last week, and so our intent, as you heard, is to apply those dollars towards the general fund-funded major street project of West Grand Avenue. I'll also add that we are working with SLOCOG on the opportunity to secure additional funding for that project through SLOCOG's regional grant funding, and every dollar generated through that program is a dollar that we don't have to spend in the general fund. But our general fund is strong enough to be able to fund that entire project in its entirety. We couldn't say that a couple of years ago when we were generating $200,000 annually towards our capital program. Now we're at $2.2 million. Thank you to the voters for Measure F20 and also our cannabis tax revenues and other general revenues that have bolstered our capital program, where in fiscal year 14, we had a $5 million capital program. Now we have a $12 million program each and every year. I want to thank Ms. Wiggin for her tremendous job in shepherding our capital improvement program She was one of our first employees that we hired after I began here in 2016. She's been a tremendous addition to our team and really has helped to guide our capital program very adeptly over the last several years. We thank the council for your leadership, and we're just getting started. Thank you.
Very good. So thank you so much. Appreciate the presentation this evening, and that will conclude work on that item number 11. So very good. So that takes us to our second round of public communications. Let me check in with our city clerk, see if there's anyone on the line for public comments.
No, there's no one on the line.
Very good. Let me see if there's anyone in the chamber that wants to speak on public comments. Last chance. Go ahead and close public comment. Bring it back to the council for council committee reports. Let's start with Councilmember Roberts.
No reports, Mayor.
Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
None for me, thank you.
Councilmember Miller.
I have a report from the Homeless Services Oversight Council, which met on March 16th. Some members voted to authorize the County of San Luis Obispo to serve as the administrative entity for the Continuum of Care Allocation of Emergency Solutions Grant Funds from the state of California. So the state currently estimates the county is eligible for about $150,000. These funds may be used for engaging homeless individuals, families living on the streets, improving the number of quality of emergency shelters for homeless individuals and families, helping to operate these shelters, providing essential services, rapid rehousing of homeless individuals and families, and preventing families and individuals from becoming homeless. The committee also voted to approve the recommendations of four persons for appointment to vacant seats on the Homeless Services Oversight Council. And then lastly, the committee discussed the San Luis Obispo Countywide Strategic Plan to address homelessness, which is now a five-year plan rather than the 10 years that was discussed. Service and shelter capacity is expanding, but homelessness is growing even faster. One of the challenges in addressing the issue is that there's not one entity that's in charge. So the county has hired a coordinator who will work on connecting the efforts of each community organization. And these efforts include year-round shelter, seasonal shelter options, and safe parking and diversion programs. Thank you.
Very good. Councilmember Rushing.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, with your permission, I'd like to blend my committee reports and my council communication, because they are very, very connected.
Blend away.
Thank you very much, sir. So reporting today in regards to the Zone 3 Advisory Committee, which met on the 17th, St. Patrick's Day. It was a lovely day. So I think it's a perfect time to note that we had our first rain here since about Christmas time. And everything that Zone 3 is all about is about a source of water that's near and dear to our hearts out at Lake Lopez. And a main portion of our conversation at this last meeting had to do with the low reservoir response plan, which was put back into place back about a year ago when lake levels at Lopez dropped below 20,000 feet. Now, when those levels drop below that level instantaneously, as long, I'll read it out here. The LLRP, or the Low Reservoir Response Plan, goes into effect when two triggers are met. A, the Board of Supervisors declares Zone 3 or countywide water emergency, and two, if the reservoir drops below 20,000 acre feet. Therefore, the LRRP is still in effect because, as I'll tell you in a minute, Lake Lopez is now below 15,000 feet. So, they were kind enough to give us a graph that takes into account our average use as a community within Zone 3, all those that are pulling from Lake Lopez over the past 2 years. Also taking into account the amount of precipitation that we've had annually for the last several years and tracking it through. So as the time of that meeting, we are at 14,479 acre feet within that. If the trends continue on, we will be down below 10,000 acre feet by the time September comes around. Now, the good news is that those are all based on projections of what our personal water use is. We can't do a heck of a lot necessarily about what comes down from the sky. There are certainly projects in place right now for cloud seeding that have definitely helped some of our issues over the past few years. But because of the LLRP, a couple of different things come into place. At that 15,000-acre-foot level, all of the agencies, so Grover Beach, Pismo Beach, Arroyo Grande, that have access to that water, their amounts drop by 10%. That they have access to out of Lake Lopez. When we get down to that 10,000 acre feet level, it actually drops down to 20%. So I guess my plea here is that this was a scary meeting, and everything that we can do as a community to save and to conserve so that we don't have this issue moving forward would be greatly appreciated. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Very good. Thank you for that. And before I go to my committee assignments, let me turn to our city manager real briefly just to see, realizing that we are approaching that 15, or we passed through the 15,000 acre foot on our way down to 10,000 acre feet. I know we are at a stage one water situation currently. So what's the prognosis for updating that to higher stages?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We are tracking this very closely. We are at stage one, as you mentioned. We will likely be coming to the council, I believe, in the May timeframe with another water shortage declaration to stage two, if not more. Water conservation is critical. Water resiliency is one of the council goals, as you identified. So that is where we are putting a great deal of focus on water supply, Central Coast Blue, Lopez storage, reservoir maintenance. That is a major, major initiative for us. And we're going to have to ask the community to dig in deep. Our community has been wonderful in conserving water. It's even more important going forward.
Very good. I think that's a great way to just remind folks that we're not going to conserve our way out of a drought, but it is an opportunity for us to maintain our water supply for as long as we possibly can. So thank you both for those updates. So I just had one quick update from the Five Cities Fire Authority meeting, actually perhaps two. It is weed abatement season. If you have received a letter from the Five Cities Fire Authority, that means you have weeds that they would like you to abate, which means to cut them down and to make sure that they don't turn into fire hazards. So please take that seriously. The next step for the fire authority there is to put your name onto a list where they will clean it for you and then charge you for it. It will definitely be less expensive if you do clean it yourself. The second update from that meeting is that T1 or the ladder truck is coming back into service. It has been up in Paso Robles at the Pierce facility being worked on for engine issues. It is coming back into service, and so we'll have that that back hopefully within the next week or so. Piece of apparatus or that apparatus is on the short round for needing to be replaced. And so that is something as the Five Cities Fire Authority moves forward under its strategic plan and perhaps its complements of Oceano, Arroyo Grande, and Grover Beach staying as the authority that's going to need to be addressed. So is that equipment. So that closes our committee assignments. Let's go to council communications. Since I didn't hear a whole lot of blending of council communications with Councilmember Rushing, I'll turn back to him first, see if there's any other council communications that you have.
I appreciate that, sir. More than anything else, I just wanted to make sure that I talked about water even more. So it did feel great to have the rain on our heads this morning, but literally, I have nothing more. I appreciate you. Thank
Very
you, sir.
Good. Councilmember Miller.
Nothing to report. Thank you.
Okay. Councilmember Robert.
Nothing here.
Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
No, thank you.
Very good. I had just two minor things. One's a good news story, and one's every 2 year reminder story. I did get an outreach from the Grover Beach Elementary Golden Gophers PTO group, where they're going to have a fundraiser April 6th, which is a Wednesday, a week from this Wednesday at Grover Station Grill from 3 p.m. to 8 p.m. So come out and support the Golden Gophers. And then my every 2 year reminder is it's about to be campaign season. It's about to be sign season for elections in the June primary. And I encourage folks, as whoever your supporters are, definitely get out and vote. But whoever you're supporting, please don't put your campaign signs in the public right away. So city crews do go around and they do remove things out of the public right-of-way if they are campaign signs. And then they'll be kind of housed down at our courtyard for you to come pick them up. We don't deliver them back. But I'm starting to see a proliferation of signs that are starting to be in questionable locations. So I just encourage any campaigns that are campaigning, get your word out, but please do it on private property. So with that, let me turn to our city manager for his reports and comments tonight.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Actually, just one item this evening, just to mention to the council that I'll be out next week attending an emergency management training at the FEMA National Emergency Training Center in Emmitsburg, Maryland. I'll be attending with Chief Peters and Public Works Director Ray as part of a sizable Slo County contingent through a federally funded grant. So there's no cost to local taxpayers for this funding that I think up to 70 of us from across the county, from Slo City and every agency in the county will be going out and really getting some of the best training available around emergency management preparation and leadership so that in the event that something happens here, you'll have a very well-trained executive staff who has been through the top-of-the-line training at FEMA headquarters to be able to bring that to work here in Grover Beach and across our community. It's a very in-depth training, long days, but very important for the well-being of our broader community. So just to mention that to the council, we'll be leaving this weekend and back again next week, and I'll look forward to reporting out after the training is complete.
Very good. Appreciate that report. So do you happen to recall what the topic is for this go-around? Sorry to put you on the spot.
I don't know what the specific training topic is, but it's a very in-depth training exercise of tabletop exercises from across the different disciplines where we are there on the campus for 4 days straight, just immersed in this area.
Very good. Thank you for that. So any questions of the city manager?
No.
Good. Very good. Next, we'll turn to our city attorney, see if he has any reports and comments tonight.
Nothing this evening, Mayor.
Very good. We do have a closed session this evening, so if you would report that closed session, Mr. Attorney.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. We're about to convene into closed session for a public employee performance evaluation consistent with Government Code Section 54957B1, title of the employee's city manager.
Very good. Appreciate that. Let me turn to any members of the public, see if there's anyone who wants to speak prior to the council adjourning into closed session. Seeing no one come forward, we'll go ahead and adjourn into closed session, and then we will return after that is completed to report out of closed session. Very good. Thank you, everyone.
Mm-hmm.